So we've been talking about our church motto, where the love of God is evident. You can just start. Minister Joe's prayer this morning covered us. Where the love of God is evident, where the word of God is taught, the spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested. And when we were examining that, we came to the conclusion that that's more than just a motto. It's the standard, first of all, for being in terms of the ministry. That's why we're here. We're here to be a place where the love of God is evident, where the word of God is taught, where the word of God is taught, not the opinions of the pastors or the people, but where the word of God is taught, where the spirit of God is directing, like he was this morning. He played a song again. Okay. Even before that, putting the list together. Like, I don't really like these songs. I'm going through the list. An hour later, it's like, these songs. I'm like, yes, sir. We can play a song and sing it 1,000 times, and at 1,001, he anoints that song and people get saved, delivered, set free. So I've learned and am learning to just go with it, because it saves a lot of time. We have over 2,000 songs in our song bank, and I get to go through 2,000 songs every week. And looking, you see one like, oh no, this one. Oh. I'm sorry, Lord. What songs? But even with that, we let the Spirit of God be directing. And when you operate in the love of God and you preach the word of God and let the Spirit of God direct, the power of God is manifested. See, there are a lot of places that are complaining. There are no demonstrations of the power of God. Maybe it's because you're not letting his spirit direct. Maybe you're not teaching the word. Maybe you're not walking in love. Maybe you're not in faith. Maybe you're not believing. Pastor, how can you say that? Turn to Mark 16. And I'll go through the 19 pages to get to it. This the Lord gave me during praise and worship. That's why I was sitting down, because I haven't figured out how to stand, dance, sing, and type at the same time. Mark 16. So glad I've got joy. Here we go. Passion Translation. I'll start at verse 14. Then Jesus appeared before the 11 apostles as they were eating a meal. He corrected them for having such hard, unbelieving hearts. I think about things, folks, sometimes too much. But some things to me just don't make sense. You have these 11 guys. They were with Jesus for three and a half years. They witnessed all the miracles that he did. They experienced doing miracles themselves. I'm going to share that in a few moments. They saw Jesus murdered. They attended his burial. They saw him after he rose from the dead. Why would Jesus have to check them for their unbelief? What more proof do you need? He came to you after he was resurrected and had a meal with you. They were there when he told, when he said to Thomas, go ahead, okay, go, put your hand in my side, feel the nail prints. So they knew it was him. Why later does he have to go and upbraid them for their unbelief? We have, the lesson for us is we have to be mindful that we don't let any circumstances fracture our belief. Because Jesus was getting ready to tell them something phenomenal, giving them a tremendous assignment, but he couldn't do it if unbelief was in them. I'll show you why that's relevant in a minute. He corrected them for having such hard, unbelieving hearts because they did not believe those who saw him after his resurrection. And he said to them, as you go into all the world, preach openly the wonderful news of the gospel to the entire human race. So don't say to me, well, I wasn't led to witness to them. Our instructions were the entire human race. Whoever believes the good news and is baptized will be saved. And whoever does not believe the good news will be condemned. And these, verse 17, you can underline it in your Bible. And these miracle signs will accompany those who believe. What's going to accompany those who believe? Who are the signs going to accompany? So why aren't I seeing signs? We don't want to think that way. But too many people come to me, Pastor, how come we don't see the signs they used to see? Well, according to the scriptures, because you're not believing. Folks don't want to hear that. They want to hear something else. But Jesus said, these signs will accompany, or in some translations, that these signs shall follow those that believe. What signs? They will drive out demons in the power of my name. They will speak in new tongues. They will be supernaturally protected from snakes and from drinking anything poisonous. And snakes, you do a study on that, it's referencing people with bad intentions. And they will lay hands on the sick and heal them. Those are signs that follow them that believe. And you only get to them if you're letting the Spirit of God direct you, if you're doing what the Spirit of God told you to do. If you're doing what the Spirit of God told you to do. If you're not seeing what the Bible says you should be seeing, it's not the Bible. Because the Bible, like that song, I know the Bible is right. So when you go back into Scripture and say, well, you need a miraculous sign, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. So it's the believers who will drive out demons in the power of his name. That means it's the believers that have the authorization to use the name. It's the believers who will speak in new tongues. It's the believers who will be supernaturally protected. It's the believers who will lay hands on the sick and sick shall recover. It's believers who will do that. Believers who have been taught the word of God. Believers who let the Spirit of God direct them, so that they always stay in the realm of the anointing. You may not know this, but you are anointed. You're set apart to do the work of the kingdom. And we need to understand that. It's not just a pastor. It doesn't say, if you're a believer, you'll find out people that are sick, bring them to church so that the pastor can lay hands on them. It said, these signs shall follow those that believe. So the key is you have to be a person Anyone here not a person? And you have to believe. You have to believe. Because these signs follow them that believe. And in talking about, and I'm going interchangeably between the Spirit of God directing and the power of God being manifested, because they tie together. But if the church is present, power to believe should be present. If the church is present, believers are present. If believers are present, the power of God is present. If the power of God is present, the power of God is present. If the power of God is present, the power of God is present. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Is the church there? Yes. Then if the church is there, then believers are there. Yes. Well, if believers are there, belief is going on. Yes. Well, then these signs follow them that believe. So if there's belief going on, the power of God will manifest. Will manifest. Who's experiencing pain in their body? Stand up, please. Put your hand on wherever there's pain. And you command it to leave. And we thank you, Father, because we are the church founded on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And since the church is present, there are believers here that are present. And if believers are present, your power is present. And if your power is present, there are manifestations of your presence. So we thank you for healing every pain, every ache, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Expect to feel better. Expect it to be gone. How many of you know right now what's gone? Amen. I see your hand. Good. I don't have to go like this anymore. I was driving up somewhere around halfway through the drive. These hands come on my shoulder and say, I told you not to come. So take this. I started laughing. And say, it's going to be some service today. Says, you need to pull over and rest. No, I need to stay on course. Because I'm assigned to minister in Pennsylvania today, and minister in Pennsylvania I will, period. That's my assignment. So if I stick with the Spirit of God directing, he's got to keep me. And folks, don't be embarrassed. If you need to sit down for a couple of minutes, sit down. I haven't seen a scripture that says, thou shalt not sitteth. Sitteth is better than falleth. Because your body needs to get down. It's going to get down, either with your cooperation or without it. But I'm not, what are the people going to think? How can I talk to them about healing and my body's not acting right? I haven't found a scripture that supported that. You should lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover as long as you're not going through anything yourself. Haven't seen that. It said these signs will follow them that believe. So the question always is, am I a believer? But I need to ask you something. Okay, Lord. Dealing with me, God, thinks he's God and acts like it. You ever think about your nature? I have a question, just gonna go around the room. What is your name? Excuse me? What is your name? What is your name? What is your name, sir? What is your name? What is your name sitting way back there? Who's that behind the soundboard? I just noticed something. Nobody had to take a moment to say, let me see, what is my name? You knew it's settled. That's who you are. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to, what did I say my name was again? Call your parents up. Mommy, what did you name me? Am I really your son? But if I ask you, what is your nature? What is your nature? I got to think about that. Why? I'm not sure. You know your name. You know your name. Spiritually, you know your name. You know your name in the soulless realm. You don't have to think about it. So what's your nature? And then it's usually preceded by, I think. I think, you know, because I'm a Christian, that I have the same nature as God since he lives inside me. Why do you have to think about that? You have a watchdog, or you have a dog in your home, and someone walks up to the porch. Your dog doesn't say, should I bark? Am I supposed to bark at this? How would you feel if someone came and your dog looked at him and went, meow? Or if the cat looked at the dog and the dog didn't say anything, the cat said, ruff. Creation operates based on its nature. It doesn't have any, I think about that, they don't have reasoning. They just do what's been put in them, placed in them to do. Human beings are the only ones of God's creation that think themselves out of his righteousness. He says, you receive my son, you're righteous. You say, I don't feel like I'm righteous. Why are you feeling anything? He said you are. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to wonder about it. We need to understand who we are, what our nature is, what's the essence of who we are, and let that always be our fallback. One person answered that question when we posed it Friday night at Bible study. They said they were asked to do something at their job, and their response immediately was, that's not in my nature to do that. Because of who I am, that's not part of my nature. So it's not that I can't, in terms of don't have the ability to do it. I won't do it. Why? That's outside of my nature. But sometimes, and everybody in this room has been guilty of it at one time or another, we've operated outside of our nature and have justified it. That's okay. Don't do it anymore. God's forgiven us. If we ask for forgiveness, God's forgiven us. We need to understand this is not part of our nature. Where the love of God is evident, it's part of our nature. Word of God is taught on nature. Spirit of God is directing to our nature. The power of God is manifestation. It's our nature. It's who we are. That's what everyone should see whenever they see us. I was sitting outside of Quick Check in Nanuet, getting ready to go in. And as I was sitting there, a homeless person came by. And he motioned to me, and I was like, because I wasn't in the mood, unfortunately. And then he went and got his bag, went a few doors down and was sitting on a table. And I was like, I can't just dismiss him. That's not who I am. So I took out extra money and went over and I said, here you go, brother. God bless you. He was like, God bless you. Thank you so much. My nature is to give. My nature is to encourage. My nature is to love. How can I just dismiss someone? We have to work hard to do something outside of our nature. We do. I'm here to lighten the load. Just be who the word says you are. And act like that, because who I am, this is the realization you come to. A dog doesn't care what it is. You mess with it, it's going to bark. It's going to bark the same bark. It's going to rawr. No, dog. Ruff. That's it. The problem, I was at a conference. Deion Sanders was one of the speakers. And he said something that just sticks with me. He said, the problem with people is that they want dogs, but they have cats. His purpose is you have a dog, but you don't treat it like a dog. Now we have dogs that need to be rocked to sleep. Why? People treat them like kids. It's a dog. It barks. But then when we need that dog to be a dog, a cat comes out and we get upset about it. But its whole life, you've trained it to be a cat. It's a dog. The expectation should be, it's a dog. The way you train it should be because it's a dog. We wonder what's wrong with the young men. You've trained them to be cats. And now you want them to stand up and act like they're a big dog. You don't want a mutt. You want a big dog who's going to take control and exercise his authority, but you've never put him in a place where he had to do that his entire life. So when push comes to shove, meow. And what do? We get mad with the person. We should look in the mirror and say, why didn't you treat him the way you should? Based on who he is and what his nature is. Since our nature is love, teaching the word, being led by the Holy Spirit, being channels for God's power, that's what we have to nurture in us. And stop stepping away from it and trying to defer it to someone else. Let me call Minister Joe and give him their number. Let him call them. He could pray with them. You already have them on the phone. If the Spirit of God is directing, or I should say, since the Spirit of God is directing, because it is, trust that the Holy Spirit will put the words in your mouth. All you have to do is open it and let it come out. If we want the Spirit of God to be directing, And the Spirit of God is always directing. You ever see those, what do you call them, maestros, band leaders? They're directing. You could be reading a book or doing something else and miss your cue. It's not that they didn't send it. It's you weren't paying attention. You weren't tuned in. We need to stay tuned into the God channel. You don't have to concern yourself. It'll never say channel alignment, channel not available. Or it won't say call your cable provider. It's $7.99 a month. No, there's no charge for that. Mark 16, verse 19. After saying these things, Jesus was lifted up into heaven and sat down at the place of honor at the right hand of God. Verse 20. I like that this verse associates direction and manifestation of power. And the apostles went out, announcing the good news everywhere, as the Lord himself consistently worked with them, validating the message they preached. Validating the message they preached. How were they validating it? Miracle signs that accompanied them. Their instructions were go into all the world and preach the gospel. And these signs will follow them that believe. Jesus took care of the belief issue with them before he gave them the instructions. So if God has given you instructions, that means that he knows that your belief is in place. So if you're not doing it, it's not because you can't. It's because you won't. Look at Luke 10. Behold, this is the Amplified Classic. Why using that translation? I love the way it says what it says. Behold, I have given you authority and power. Authority, the legal right to enforce obedience. Power. That police officer, when he goes like this and puts his hand up, he's exercising power and authority. Authority means you have strength and you're not afraid to use it. One of the definitions of authority. You wouldn't feel very safe if you encountered a timid police officer. You'd wonder, what the heck is he doing on the force? Matter of fact, he probably can't even, he needs to watch Star Wars so he can learn that the force is with him. Because the way he's acting, the force is far from him. But we have authority. No, stop. And the entire government of this nation enforces that individual police officer. It doesn't have to be a police officer, it could be a school crossing guard. If they say stop, stop. I got cited for passing a stopped school bus. Now, it wasn't stopped. It was stopping. And I figured it was okay since it's slowing down and it was just starting to push out the lights. I just went into the turn lane. I got a letter in the mail. Good afternoon. That'll be $250, please. And I'm thinking, I'm fighting this because I didn't pass the stop school bus. But I had to realize something. My first thought, being absolutely transparent, my first thought was, well, I'll just stop anyway, because I know it's this bus stop over there. I know, I see just about every day the buses stop there. That was my first thought. That was the Spirit telling me, stop. I wasn't in a hurry. I wasn't late for a meeting. I had all the time in the world. But I just figured, it's not stopping yet, so I'll just pull out. What happened if a child jumped, got was excited and jumped off the bus before it came to a complete stop? I can't say, well, that's on them, they should have waited. So I'm going to just pay the ticket. I've pulled it out practically every day to send in the information to fight it, but it just didn't feel right. As Pastor Red always goes, it just didn't feel right in here. And it wasn't until I started talking about it that it came to me, you need to just pay. Like, that's $250. Yeah, but I told you to stop and you didn't listen. And I just let it go. Because that's better than going to court and telling the judge that the bus driver is a liar. Because I didn't pass by a stopped school bus. I passed, but I did stop was in the word. It was stopping. We're going to move up to Romans 8. How many of you are sons of God? That includes, that's male and female. If you want to say sons and daughters. Well, Romans 8, verse says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if we confess to be spirits of the Spirit, of, sons of God, if we confess that, then we need to be living by the Spirit of God. We need to be allowing the Spirit of God to direct us. How many of you have children? How many of you allow your children to do whatever they want to do and you don't give them any instructions? Okay. How many of you don't care if your children don't follow your instructions? How do you expect that you'll give instructions and your children won't follow them? Well, God is the same way. You're my child, go this way. You're my child, yes. Stop behind the school bus. See, when I did that, I wasn't acting like a son. Because if I were acting like a son, I would have stopped behind the school bus and just waited. It doesn't take long for two children to get off a school bus. And even if it did, so what? Like I said, I wasn't in a hurry. Not that it matters, because even if I was, God wouldn't say, well, you should stop, but you're in a hurry, so go on. So now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. For the law of the Spirit of life following through the anointing of Jesus has liberated us from the law of sin and death. So if we're led by the Spirit of God, we're a child of the Most High, we're exempt from the law of sin and death. As long as we continue acting like we're children of God. Why do you say that, Pastor? Well, remember we were talking earlier about nature, and you shouldn't have to question your nature. I didn't respond to my nature. And I questioned it. Why do I have to stop when the bus is stopping, it's not stopped yet. So I can just go around it. So the fact that I had to negotiate my action was an indicator that I was off. And I should have just stopped and stayed there. Just because I pulled out from behind it, I could have still opted to stop. Right up to the driver's window on the bus, I had time to just stop. But I didn't. And it cost me $250 of God's money. How can I pay him back? I only have what he gives me. I can't work for him to get extra. Now, what would be terrible if Godzilla Minus One came back into the theaters and I couldn't go see it because I have to pay $250 for this ticket. Not that the movie costs $250, not yet anyway. Romans 8:5. Well, I'll read 4 first. So now every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through the Anointed One living his life in us. And we are free to live not according to our flesh, but by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5. Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits them. But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. When you're led by the Spirit of God, you're led based on spiritual realities, not self. If you think about self, you'll never do what God tells you to do. You'll never obey the Spirit of God. And if you're not obeying the Spirit of God, guess what will happen to his power? You won't see it. You won't see it. I started reading the scripture. I didn't finish it. Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall by any means, but in any way, harm you. So Jesus told us, he gave us some instructions. He gave us some directions. He said, I have given you authority and power. Not to go out and get a new car, a new house, the yacht, and all that stuff. He said, I've given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, physical and mental. Physical and mental. Strength and ability over some of the power that the enemy has. And some things might harm you. He doesn't say that. That's cat thinking. If you're a dog, you know it says that you have mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. And I love to ask this question. What does all mean? What's excluded from all? So there isn't anything we can think of that's outside of all. So that means there's absolutely nothing that the enemy can do to harm me. Not even just a little tiny bit. It said, I have physical and mental strength and ability over all the power of the enemy. The translation says that you have it over everything that the enemy possesses. Everything. And nothing shall in any way harm you. In any way. We have that kind of power. And here's what I wanted to get to, Luke 5:17. It came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, he being Jesus, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Why was the power of the Lord present? Belief was present. Why was belief present? Jesus was there. And wherever he was, power was. Wherever you are, power's there. That's why sometimes you walk into a place and all of a sudden everybody stops talking, gets quiet, a lot of noise going on. You just walk in and everything just calms down. Why? Because the spirit world knows Jesus just showed up. Accompanied by a believer. And the devil knows that believer that's with you, that has Jesus on the inside of them, knows who they are, knows what they can do to me. I better exit stage left. And just peace just comes in. So I don't understand that. Well, Jesus said he's going to give you a peace that passes all understanding. But I'm saying all of this to let you know, when you go where the Spirit directs you to go, and you do what the Spirit told you to do, the power of God will manifest through you. Because you've been taught, and are teachers of the Word of God, and you love the same way your father loves. So you have his love evident, you have his word available, and you're teaching it. You have his direction, so you know what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. And his power is manifested. What will that result? What will be the result of all of that? The people will come. Because when you read in scripture that Jesus went about teaching or preaching and the crowds flocked to him. And let me just tell you this about preaching and teaching. I'm so going to change this back to my original format. Second Timothy 4. Timothy, in the presence of our great God and our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was destined to judge both the living and the dead by the revelation of his kingdom, I solemnly instruct you, proclaim the word of God and stand upon it no matter what. Rise to the occasion and preach when it's convenient and when it's not. Preach in the full expression of the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? You don't hold anything back. You preach the words placed in your heart to preach. And you handle anything that you need to handle. I enjoy listening to Apostle Mike Keyes when he comes and he tells us the experiences that he had ministering among the people. And one time he was ministering, and they always build like a platform because there's so many people that need to be elevated above them. And there was this one woman who was a witch who was calling out curses on all of the speakers. And he said, he walked up to her because She walked up on the stage and went to a microphone. He went up to her, put his hands on her shoulder, and threw her off the stage. Just off the stage. Didn't stop preaching. And God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he said, no one else tried to upset one of his meetings again. That's what he was impressed to do. Why? You don't negotiate with the enemy. I had this mindset. If you have power, you're supposed to act like it. So my last words before I, quote unquote, took care of business was, why don't you just go home before you get hurt? And then I would go like this. I want the person to think I'm retreating. I'm getting punching distance. If he's this close, yeah, but I can't get, I want him to get the full force, so let me get a couple inches so that when I come in, it comes in with everything. And I just stand there and just look eye to eye. They back up. Foots, you always take things so seriously. But if I hadn't have done that, you'd have thought you were somebody. So we already know. Well, let me say it this way. Why do you think Jesus gave us power over all the power of the enemy? Why would there be, since we're Christians, why do we need protection from the enemy? Don't we have divine covering? So why would he have to say that? Why would he have to say, I've given you power and authority, physical and mental strength and ability over anything the devil's got? Why would he say, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, if weapons were not going to be formed against you? So stop big dogs. Don't walk around scared. Thank God they never catch it, but they'll chase a car. Little mud about this high, run at it. What are you going to do when you catch it? But he gave us those tools because he knew we would need them to survive. He knew we would need them to accomplish the work he's called us to do. He knew the enemy was going to put up a front. Because that's the best he can do. He puts up a front. He can't stop you, but he can detain you. I think it was Apostle Paul told the people, I would have come sooner, but Satan detained me. He had to deal with some stuff, so he got there later than he wanted to. He didn't get mad and say, this word stuff doesn't work. I should have been there yesterday. Why did God let the devil come? He gave you all the power you need. I'm going to tell you this one last revelation that I got. I want you to think about it. I think it's wisdom, is Acts 6 or 7, the account of the seven sons of Sceva. Thank you. Acts chapter 19. Short version. These seven guys figured they could play Christ. And they would go around trying to cast out demons using the name of Jesus, which they weren't authorized to use because they weren't believers. And they must have been having some level of success because they were encountering ignorant demons. Why do you say that? Because the scriptures say, one day, a demon spoke back. which leads me to believe that all the other times, the demons didn't say anything. They heard him use, they heard the name of Jesus and figured, let's leave this alone. But one day, demons spoke back. The seventh son said, we adjure you, that means we beg you, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches about. What does that mean? You mean you don't have any a personal relationship with him? And the demon spoke back. Paul, I know. And Jesus, I heard about. But who are you? They were not in the place where the word of God was taught. There was no direction of the Spirit, so there was no manifestation of power from God. There was a manifestation of power by the enemy, because that demon beat the clothes off of seven men. Now, I've gotten some beatings in my life from mommy, but she always made you take off your clothes. She never beat you out of your clothes. If she took too long, she'd beat you while you were taking them off. But I've never been beaten out of my clothes. But these seven men ran naked, beaten up down the street. Why? They didn't know who they were. They were cats pretending to be dogs. And imposter, that's right. But that's not the point I wanted to make. This is what I wanted to make. This is why I told you that account. When you refuse to yield to the direction of the Holy Ghost, where you wind up is a place where you're not known. And you're wondering why what you're saying ain't working. You need to be at the place where God has directed you to be, because that's where the activation switch for his power is located. Go over there. I like it over here. But go over there and pick up the red microphone. I like it over here. There ain't no red mic over here. So you got to use something else, something that God has not authorized you to use. So when we say we're a place where the love of God is evident, we better make sure we're operating in love, the God kind of love. I don't have time, otherwise I'd go over it, but get the Message translation or the Amplified Bible and read 1 Corinthians 13. So you'll know what love is. We're a place where the word of God is taught. You have to be taught of the word and teachers of the word, not opinion, not politics. You have to be a place where the Spirit of God is directing. You're being led by the Spirit of God. What does it say? Those led by the Spirit of God. Let me find this one and share it with you. Where is it? I think it was in Romans. Forgive me for. Mm-hmm. For as many, Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The scripture I was looking for was, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and you be led by the Holy Spirit and you won't be led by your flesh. Do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do and you won't get over into error. Thank you, Minister Till. Galatians 5:16. Where is it in my notes? Mr. Joe, would you read it, please?
This then I say, Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But in other translations, walk in the Spirit.
Yes. I'm walking in the Spirit, so I will never fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm a place where the love of God is evident, the Word of God is taught, the Spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested. Amen.